The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I'm teaching with Nikki Murgafori. We alternate weeks, and this week is my week. It works out great, actually, job sharing this way. You know, sometimes, you know, our schedules, one of us is usually here. Is there anybody that it's their first time being here?
It's my first time here, but I listen to you.
Oh, well, you listen. Fantastic. Oh, that's great. I'm happy to hear that. That kind of hello. So, as many of you know, probably everybody knows, this is Happy Hour, where we're going to be doing a loving-kindness meditation. And in the Buddhist idea of loving-kindness is this practice, or maybe even a quality of the heart, that embraces everybody. Embraces everybody, including ourselves. Allowing others and ourselves to be just as they are. Right, in theory, it seems like this should be straightforward. It turns out to not be quite so easy. Sometimes it can be difficult to really embrace ourselves and all aspects of ourselves. Like maybe like this little part is okay, but that part over there is not so okay, or something like this. So that's why we have loving kindness practice, this recognition that it's not so easy. That it's not so, I was going to say straightforward, but maybe it is straightforward, but not so easy. Part of the reason for this is that, evolutionary biology, right? That there's a negativity bias to see, like, okay, what's not quite right that can be fixed, or we have to be aware of what's around us in our environment, or is it safe, is it not safe, and often paying extra attention to those things that seem maybe a little bit not safe or not ideal. And of course, right, we are the descendants of the people that stayed safe, right? If they weren't safe, they didn't pass on their genes to us, right? So there is this negativity bias. So there's kind of a biology behind why sometimes it's not so easy to embrace all aspects of ourselves or all other people, things that are unfamiliar or things that are uncomfortable. So with loving kindness practice, for those of you who have heard me or have been here before, we start where it's easiest. This doesn't have to be difficult. We don't have to start at the most difficult aspect where we have to struggle or have to feel like we have to force something to happen. We are not using a sledgehammer. We're not even using a hammer in this practice. Maybe a light feather that's like brushing something. That kind of a movement. And something that I appreciate very much is that Ajahn Brahm, he's a teacher in Australia. He's an Australian man who's been a monastic for many, many years. Some of you may be familiar with his books. He has a number of books. And he has one that's called Kindfulness. It's kind of a sweet book. It's, with not a lot of words. It's a very simple book. And he really emphasizes this idea of start where it's easiest. And he uses this analogy that I really like, in that loving kindness practice is like starting a warm fire in your heart. Not a destructive fire, but something that, you know, you get cozy around with some hot chocolate maybe and your favorite slippers and, you know, that kind of a feeling of loving kindness. So just like starting a fire, a campfire, we don't start with a big giant log and light a match under a log and think that we're going to start a fire that way. Instead, we start with paper, things that are combustible easily, and then we put maybe twigs or little pieces of wood, and then maybe bigger branches, and then a log. And then when the fire really gets going, Then we can even put on like a wet log and it may catch fire. But we don't start there. So in the same way with loving kindness practice, we start where it's easiest. And then maybe we add how we teach it here at IMC, we start with what we call the easy being. Often it's a benefactor. And then we go to ourselves. And then we can expand the circle to include good friends. And then a neutral person. So maybe a neutral person is like a regular log. A good friend is a smaller log. And then a difficult person, which is maybe like a wet log or a big log. So tonight we're just going to do two sets. We're just going to do where it's easy and to ourselves. And it turns out that just doing this, even just doing where it's easy, is really powerful. It's really powerful. And it's not that we will necessarily see the difference while we're meditating. All kinds of things may happen while we're meditating. But just inclining our minds this way, warming up our hearts in some way, makes it more likely that these mind states, these experiences will occur in our daily life. So don't feel dismayed or discouraged if during formal meditation you're not blissed out and loving everybody. That may not be what's going to happen. In fact, the opposite may happen. That's certainly, I've had a lot of my own experience where sitting down, I'm bringing to mind a particular time where the teacher had instructed me, why don't you do some loving kindness meditation? And I was started doing some loving kindness meditation, and all these four-letter words were coming up in my mind. It's like the opposite of loving kindness. I was like, wow, where is this coming from? And I felt terrible about it. But when I reported this to the teacher, she reassured me, no, this is fantastic. This is kind of like, you know, what needs to happen. This is a purification process. So just because this happened for me, I'm often saying, it's okay if it happens to you. Doesn't mean it will. Maybe it won't. But I felt like I needed some reassurance when this happened to me, so I'm providing reassurance to those of you. Then maybe one thing that I'll introduce here, Ajahn Brahm, going back to him and his book, Kindfulness. Again, with this idea that we start where it's easiest. For him, he imagines a kitten, and he makes a whole story about this kitten. He uses the power of imagination to create a cute little fluffy kitten with big eyes that looks like it's hungry and that, you know, needs care. And he imagines himself like picking up the kitty and holding it and kind of loving this cat that maybe is cold and petting it and the little kitten is purring. So he's using his imagination to, like the paper, to light a fire, like where it's easiest to give this feeling of loving kindness, this feeling of warmth, care, goodwill. And I like this idea. Classically, in the Buddhist teachings, where we would do this with a benefactor, with a person that we have a relationship with in some way. But Ajahn Brahm is saying, start where it's easiest, including making it up. A kitten or some other experience. So I'd like to open that up for you. I'll use the word benefactor, although you can sit up here anywhere, don't feel bad about it. I'll use this expression, easy being. So that can be a benefactor, that is somebody that has benefited you, somebody for whom you have a lot of respect and care for. Again, somebody for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness for. Somebody with whom you don't have a complicated relationship, but is one that's pretty straightforward. You may not actually know this person. They may be just be a spiritual leader or a historical figure. Again, just where it's easy for you to feel loving kindness. So I'll start with a little bit of mindfulness, then we'll do loving kindness for a benefactor or the easy being, and then we'll expand the circle to do loving kindness for ourselves. And with loving kindness practice, there's three elements. There's the being for whom we're sending loving kindness, and we bring them to mind. As I said, that can be completely imagination, or you can visualize the person if you know them. Visualize, like perhaps a memory, bring to mind a memory. Or a third way, maybe you have just a felt sense of what's it like to be with this person, or an idea of a person. Again, do whatever's easiest. We're not trying to do the most difficult thing here. And then the second aspect of this is periodically checking in and see if there's a warm, tender feeling. I'm going like this around the heart center. Often here in the heart center, there is a feeling of softness or warmth, or different people experience it in different ways. So you can just explore for yourself if there is a way that loving kindness or maybe a little bit care gets felt in the body. And then the third element are phrases that we say just to help coming back to our intention of having loving kindness. Similar, like with mindfulness meditation, we'll come back to the sensations of breathing. The phrases are a way to help us come back to this intention of cultivating loving kindness. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture, one that feels comfortable and alert. It may take a little bit of exploration to find the right balance between alertness and comfort, but something that you feel like you can, you know, have a certain amount of steadiness in. And of course, you can shift your posture if you need to. And let's begin by taking three long, slow, deep breaths as a way to connect with our bodies and connect with the moment. Allowing the breath to return to normal, trusting that the body knows how to breathe itself. We don't have to do anything in particular. We can begin with just checking in and seeing if there's some tension that can be readily or easily let go of or softened. Maybe behind the eyes. Or the jaw. These are two places we often hold tension. Perhaps with the exhale, there can be some letting go. Allowing some ease. Can check in with the neck, the shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back, again we don't have to make the tension go away. We're just checking in, sometimes just by bringing our attention there, the tension can soften. And it's okay if the tension is still there. We're just seeing what can readily be let go of. Checking in with the back. The chest, and the belly. Can we let our bellies relax? And our hips. And legs. And feet. Now we can bring your awareness, your attention, to the sensations of breathing. So that is the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of the air going in and out of the nose. Choose one of those three, again, whichever one is easiest for you. And rest your awareness there. If you find that your mind is wandering, that doesn't have to be a problem. That's what minds do. Just very softly, gently bring it back to the sensations of breathing. If you find that you're no longer with the sensations of breathing, you can just simply begin again. There's no limit to the number of times we can begin again. Just feeling the movement of the abdomen or chest, the stretching, the pulling, whatever, however it might feel for you. Or if you're paying attention to the air going in and out of the nose, perhaps it's the temperature of the air. So in a moment, we're going to start loving kindness meditation. And know that you can always come back to this practice, just being with the sensations of breathing. as an alternative. If you ever feel overwhelmed, confused, a little bit lost, you can always just come back to the sensations of breathing. And then to start loving kindness practice, bring to mind a being for whom it's very easy to feel warm-hearted towards. Maybe you've watched some cat videos on the internet. Maybe there's somebody in your life for whom it's very easy for you to feel warmth and love, kindness, respect, care, tenderness towards. So whether a memory of something you've seen, somebody you know, or even an imagination, bring this, what I'm going to call the easy being, bring the easy being to mind. You can check in with the heart center and see if there is already some warmth or tenderness towards this person or this being. There may or may not be. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, cultivating warm-heartedness, we'll silently in our minds, softly, repeat the phrases. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You don't have to use these precise phrases. If there are other words that are more meaningful or feel that you can connect with better, then by all means use those words. And of course it doesn't have to be in English. It could be in any language that feels like the language of your heart. This can be like a soft whisper or a feather. We're doing this in a relaxed, easy way. Wishing an easy being that they have health and happiness, safety. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And check in and see if we still have the sense of the easy being. And see if there's a feeling of warm-heartedness, softness, gentleness, opening of the heart center. If there is, you can allow that to get as big as it wants. There may not be a feeling of warm-heartedness. That's okay too. Again, bring into mind the easy being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'm going to be silent for a little while. So you can do this at your own pace. So again, you can check in with the heart center, the heart, and see if there's a warm feeling of care, tenderness, warmth. And now we're going to expand the loving kindness to include ourselves. So for this, you can bring to mind, either like visualize yourself in whatever way makes sense for you, in a way that's easy, or you can have a felt sense of yourself, maybe a sense of the interior, or you can have like a snapshot of the exterior. Again, whatever seems the most straightforward. Some people, for a loving kindness practice for themselves, like to imagine themselves when they were a young child, or maybe even a baby. It's an infant or a toddler or just a cute little person running around. We say the same phrases, just changing the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So just as we had warmth or tenderness towards the easy being, can we do that for ourselves? Can we wish ourselves well-being? Just as much as anybody else, we deserve to have well-being and ease, happiness, health, safety. All aspects of ourselves are invited. Every single little last bit. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. If you feel any resistance or a little bit more efforts required, maybe you could have loving kindness for that too. It's okay. Just invite that experience in. It's welcome also. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now there'll be some silence. You can continue with this practice or do whatever seems like the right thing to do for you at this moment. And then to end this meditation, bring your awareness to the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So today I wanted to emphasize that this practice doesn't have to be something that's, you know, we have to struggle with or strive with or push. I know many, I can speak for myself, you know, in my professional life I did so much striving and pushing and trying to make things happen, you know, and I was rewarded for that. That's what I was supposed to be doing. So it can be hard to think that here, because something is simple and not filled with effort, doesn't mean it's not powerful, doesn't mean it's not effective. It's part of the radical practice of meditation is that it's different than our ordinary lives, our everyday lives. And it is a skill. It is a skill to learn how to dial the effort. You know, dial it down for sometimes. Maybe in meditation we do have to increase the effort if we're just, for whatever reason, our minds are really busy. We may take a little bit more diligence to keep on coming back. But again, we don't want to use a sledgehammer with it. This is sometimes, you know, it's easy to do. Like, dang it, get back to the, whether it's the phrases or the breath or whatever you're doing. It's like, oh, look, here I am planning the grocery list. Wow, okay, I'm supposed to be meditating. Let's see, let's just come back to the object. That's true for mindfulness as well as loving kindness. And so that's why we start with the benefactors, because where it shouldn't take a lot of effort to help us get a sense of the amount of effort or the little amount of effort that it can take. And then work from there, just like the kindling, you know, we're lighting the paper and we're letting the paper really catch fire. And if you're doing this practice on your own, not when you have somebody else guiding it, wait until the paper really feels like it's on fire, when you really have some loving kindness towards the easy being. And then add the kindling, which can be yourself. It's often how it's taught now, that we start with the easy being and then yourself. It can be weeks, months, years, decades that you just are with the benefactor. All of us have our own way. That we don't have to do any particular schedule. This is all just about having, cultivating a sense of warmth in our hearts. So maybe we always, for the rest, our entire practice is this. Don't feel like you have to get any particular place at any particular time. Which again is often different, right, than in our regular everyday lives, where we often feel like we have to accomplish something in particular. So here is not about that. We're just very softly, gently bringing our intention back. So now I'd like to open it up to some questions about this idea of effort in general, or loving kindness practice in general, or some of the things that I said specifically, the phrases or the experience or whatever question you may have. And we'll use the microphone just so that all of us can hear. Neil.
So I guess I, not a question, but maybe start the talking. Yeah, I noticed I felt, I didn't feel resistance, but I, my mind kept wandering. The first part, it kept falling asleep, and just, you know, then it came to me, oh, okay, that's what I need to do to take care of myself, is just to...
Yeah, is the microphone on? Can you guys hear him? It is.
Oh, okay.
Okay, there you
go. Yeah, just realizing, oh, okay, I should, you know, sleep would be a nurturing thing for me to have.
Yeah, I appreciate this, kind of like honoring, respecting where we are right now, this moment. And sometimes we're tired. That's just the way it is. Of course we're tired. We have lots of things to do and something, you know, that's maybe where it is. And then we just have to decide for ourselves, okay, is sleep what's needed here? But always what's needed is kind of an acknowledgement of what's happening and not so much a struggle with, oh, this shouldn't be here, somehow thinking that feeling tired is illegitimate, it shouldn't be here. Instead, we can recognize, oh yeah, it's here. Of course it's here. There's causes and conditions why we're tired. We're busy, or we haven't had enough sleep, or whatever. Whatever the reason may be, it's not random, it's not chaos. There's a particular reason why, and to just acknowledge that. And we don't have to make it a problem. Thank you, Neil.
I think on retreat last week, a lot of that acknowledging what's there, and I don't know, just noticing a new level of working with that not resisting and not feeling like I should be doing something different. Or that I should be doing something different than feeling like I should be doing something different. Both sides of that. So I've been feeling like some metta practice would be good to work with also, and just developing some more, you know, self-compassion around that.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you know, love is so much about allowing and accepting, right? Whether that's in our personal relationships or kind of just loving kindness. And then meditation practice is also so much about allowing and accepting. It doesn't mean that we just let anything happen. We are doing something in particular, but we're not fighting against it. We're not struggling against it. We're acknowledging, respecting, honoring what's happening. But it seems kind of straightforward. It turns out not to be so easy very often, right? We always think we should be experiencing something else, or I'm failing somehow if I'm not able to stay on the object, or if I'm feeling pain or emotional or physical pain or something like that. We are also often adding extra things on top. And this practice is a little bit about, can we just let those other things drop away? They will arise. These ideas that things should be different, they will arise. This happens to all of us until you get some really deep concentration, which most likely happens on retreat. So just acknowledge these ideas, like, oh yeah, this shouldn't be here, I don't want to be here, and I should be doing something else, arise. Just acknowledge it. It has a certain amount of energy. And then just allow it to kind of naturally run out of energy, and it'll go away if we don't fuel it. If we don't, oh yeah, that's right, I really should be doing this. And not only that, I should be doing this other thing. And oh yeah, and there's that other thing I didn't do, and then that, and whoosh, off we go, right? So, thank you, Neil. Anybody else? Yeah, can we but you can hand it back to, thank you.
I guess I have a lot of conditioning around equating love with like sex or romance. But it feels very like comforting to embrace a form of love that is a little bit different, more like a form of intimacy that's a little bit, it feels a little bit safer to me, I guess, because I don't have to worry about those dynamics. But it's something that like I'm opening up to, but it's definitely not something I was really exposed to that much growing up.
Yeah, right? Love is kind of a word that just encompasses so much, right? I love pumpkin pie. I love my partner. You know, and I'm doing loving kindness practice, right? These are all three different, really different things. And part of this practice is to maybe see how they're related and how they're different. They're related because there's a warm-heartedness, maybe an openness, a softness of the heart. But in our relationships, there's often a little bit more, there can be, there are not always, but sometimes expectations. If I'm in a relationship with you, we kind of set up these guidelines, I'll behave this way and you should behave that way, and we negotiate and navigate that. Or I love pumpkin pies can have a little bit of like greediness, I need more of it, I want it, this is definitely going to make me happy, I'm sure it's going to make me happy as soon as I get this. As opposed to loving kindness meditation is more just unconditional openness. And we have to practice. Don't think that you should be able to just do this right off the bat. There's something I appreciate very much about Buddhist meditation practice is this recognition that our minds, our hearts are malleable. They can be changed. They can be influenced. And how we do that is just often with just persistence, a certain amount of diligence, with care. Right? Not with beating ourselves up about it, but just a certain amount of consistency. We don't have to make things different. They'll become different on their own if we are just have a certain amount of persistence. So maybe the last thing. Can you pass the microphone up? Thank you.
Thank you. In terms of the difference between compassion and loving kindness, do you differentiate between the two? And I could offer a comment on that, because in the Jewish tradition, in Kabbalah, there's two separate words, for one for loving kindness and one for compassion. So I just wanted to hear.
Yeah. So we have two separate words in the Buddhist, in Pali, the original language, metta for loving kindness and karuna for compassion. And very briefly, I'll say that loving kindness, kind of what we practice here is, you know, this well-wishing, this warm-heartedness. And then as this radiates out to more and more beings, eventually including all beings or, you know, friends and all beings, naturally loving kindness is going to encounter people who are suffering. And so when loving kindness, when the fire is roaring, meets suffering, it turns to compassion. And so it's this wish, it's the acknowledgement that there's suffering, to kind of feel that quiver of like, oh my goodness, there's suffering, and the warm-hearted wish for the suffering to end. So they're different. Other Buddhist traditions tend to not make the distinction so much here, and this tradition we do. So right now we're starting with loving kindness because this is definitely the foundation for both the sympathetic joy and equanimity. For those of you who know the four faces of love, the four kinds of love, perhaps here in happy hour we'll get to some of these other ones, but this is like such, even if you just have these basics, it can be life-changing, but they're the foundation. So,
thank you.
You're welcome. Well, it's 7 o'clock, so I'll stay here if you have any questions. But I want to wish you all some safety, happiness, health, and well-being. Thank you.